This morning's scripture is from the book of John, chapter 11, verses 32 to 44. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go."
Now, if you think about it, this is a really good post-Halloween scripture. I know we're all feeling a little nostalgic and sentimental, but this is a really good scripture. Could be good for Spooky Sunday, too, because it's kind of a zombie scripture. I mean, we never really call it that. I probably shouldn't say that out loud. It's a little bit taboo. But last week, I decided that we should start a Bible Says series that took off of our series this summer, Bible Says What?, that we really enjoyed. So this is another one for our Bible Says, "What?" Because if you think about it, Lazarus is nothing short of a zombie. Picture this. Out of the tomb he emerges, the stench of death upon him, wafting out of the crypt, causing everybody to cover their nose and hold their breath. Right? We need a little laughter in here. You could laugh a little bit. It's okay. His whole body is wrapped with cloth, and there's these strips that are dragging behind him on the ground as he emerges from the tomb, the walking dead. Or I guess now he's the undead. I don't know. It's a scene that we know. You can picture it because you've seen it on dozens of horror movies. But it's first a scene right out of our scripture. For some of us, this passage is about as believable as a 1950s Hollywood soundstage because it's an incredible scene. We can punch our holes right through it if we want to because there's no such thing as zombies. So what was this all about? Was Lazarus actually entombed alive, some think? Perhaps this was a ploy to sway disbelievers to now believe in Jesus and his miraculous acts. There's got to be some sort of explanation. So people have tried to think of these theories for centuries. I heard one that there was actually just a post-humus muscle response that made it appear like Lazarus was resuscitated, when actually it was just a mere fluke, like just muscle responded right out of that tomb. I don't know. I don't buy it. But I admit that the whole thing is pretty hard to believe. So no wonder we're looking for some sort of explanation. But rather than try to explain or figure out what actually happened, how a corpse returned to life and somehow managed to walk again, or rather than dismissing this story altogether, as some of us might be want to do, because it's just so unbelievable, like, we can happily play along with Halloween just a few days ago. I mean, how many monsters came to your door last Thursday? We easily enter into those stories. Surely if we can open ourselves up to zombies, we can open the door of our minds just a crack and imagine Jesus and his dear friend, the undead Lazarus. Because maybe there's something here worth examining. The reason why I love this passage is because Jesus is so human here. If we ever doubted his humanity, in this passage, we know that he is one of us. He had friends, good friends that he loved deeply. Even as he was divinely connected to God, it is clear that death disturbed him. He couldn't let Lazarus go. He couldn't deal with the idea that his friend died and he didn't save him. He didn't say goodbye. He just wasn't ready. Jesus is just like us. Who among us has not felt the same way when the person that we love died? Even when we prepare ourselves, even when we witness a long illness, or when the person has lived a long life, we still have a hard time. We would still do everything in our power to bring them back, even just for a moment. Who among us hasn't bargained with God? It's one of the stages of grief, so my goodness, I'm sure we all have. Because we are human. Because we love. Jesus loved. The moment he heard of his friend's death, grief washed over him. His own spirit seemed to collapse with the news. Tears overtook him. Weeping alongside his friends, his mind filled with questions. Where is he? Can he really be dead? Where have you laid him? He needed to see it for himself. He just couldn't believe his friend had died. He couldn't imagine life without Lazarus. So he'd do everything in his power to bring him back. Because after all, that's what you do when you love someone. He is one of us. How many times have I thought the same thing? Whether it was the death of my father, which now, even after 25 plus years, I still find myself in shock. My dad's dead. It's like I hear it for the first time in my own mind. Or my grandmother Helen, whose unique death with dignity demonstrated her own power and grace, but also left me thinking that she had more time. She could have, and sometimes I think should have, waited to die. I wish she could have let us hold on to her a little bit longer. I think about those calls that I haven't been able to make, or the advice I haven't been able to take, and the holidays that seem so much emptier without her big presence. To be honest, I feel this way about so many people. Marta Sarkissian, it hasn't even been a year, and I'm still shocked. We knew she was in her 90s. We knew she was going to die, and yet there was more to learn from her, more inspiration to be had. Before you know it, whether a death is decades old or all that more recent, I find myself like Jesus, weeping, questioning, longing to fix it, to bring them back to life and put things back to normal. I remember in the days following my father's death, I was 14 years old, and I repeated that phrase so often. I just want things to be normal. I felt different. I felt like people saw me differently. I certainly felt like I saw the world differently. It felt like the air just got sucked out of me, and I was gasping for breath, gasping for normalcy. So I know how they felt, and you probably do too. Mary, loving her dear friend Jesus, but also inwardly cursing him, if she were to be honest, for going to take care of someone else instead of her brother. What was he even doing in those extra days at the Jordan? Healing people? Teaching? Was he scared to come back to Bethany because he knew he had enemies there? How could a bunch of strangers be more important than Lazarus? And Jesus himself probably felt guilt of his own, wishing he had done more when he could have. If only he had been there. If only he'd spent more time with him when he was alive. If only he'd made a difference. I know that feeling. Do you? There's a part of me that still feels guilty. Rationalization inside, I still feel guilty. I can remember those months that my dad was dying, his hospital bed set up in my parents' room. I'd come home from school, say hello to my dad, hang out for a bit, and then I'd head into the other room to steal away and watch TV. Why did I go in there? I wasn't supposed to be watching television. Or even why I was doing the things that I should have been doing, like my homework. The night before my dad died, I was consumed with studying for an algebra test. And the morning he died, I was so worried that my teacher would be mad that I was gonna miss the test. Now I look back and I think, I should have spent every single moment at his side. Why did I waste time on things that didn't matter? I suppose it's because I never really believed he would die. I didn't believe it was going to happen. Jesus didn't worry either. He was busy working. He had people to teach, people to heal. He'd make it back in time. He'd see Lazarus. Everything would be okay. Except that he arrived 4 days too late. And it was like someone punched him in his gut. He was too late. Lazarus was dead. It is so hard to believe that Jesus knows my guilt. That Jesus lived it too. Sure, he was busy saving lives and imbuing wisdom, and I was a teenager watching TV after school, sometimes a little too preoccupied with getting things done. I guess some things never change. But both of us felt the guilt, believing we could have and should have done more. The truth is, most people feel this way when a loved one dies. No doubt right now you are thinking about the people that you have loved and the days and months and years before their death, wishing that you had done more, or simply been present more, regretting decisions that at the time seemed so important and now seem irrelevant, when just a little more time would mean the world. Jesus, as perfect as we make him out to be, Jesus felt this way too. The writer of John tells the story in such a way that it seems like Jesus was intentionally biding his time, those extra couple of days at the Jordan. We don't actually know what he's doing, but hopefully he wasn't just lounging around at the river's edge. For the writer of John, it does not matter what Jesus was doing, because the writer of John has an intention to the way he wrote his gospel. This was going to be an opportunity for Jesus to demonstrate his powers. That's because, we're going to do a little bit of exegetical work here, the Gospel of John is the signs gospel. So whereas Jesus' miracles in the synoptic gospels, which are Mark, Matthew, and Luke, are performed for healings or feedings, John's Jesus always performs miraculous acts as signs of who he is so that people will believe. It's even written right there in our text if you want to read it again. So even as Lazarus' resuscitation is done to bring him back to life, the writer of John portrays it as another example of how Jesus demonstrates his identity as another opportunity for people to believe. But the writer of John leaves in the humanness of Jesus. So I don't think we're supposed to take away this example for why we're supposed to believe. I think there's more to take away from this passage, because we know the author's angle. The writer of John is going to do everything to make Jesus a sign for those to believe. But what does Jesus want? Jesus wants the same thing we do. He wants his friend back. He wants to make things right. He wants to stop the hurt. He wants to make Lazarus undead. Because Jesus is just like us. If we erase the zombie Lazarus from his story and Jesus' superpowers and the little slight ego we might see, what we find is the hurting human heart. Jesus aches because Jesus loves. We ache because we love. And for a moment, he does the impossible. He pulls Lazarus out from the tomb, awakens him from his slumber, numbs the heart, all so he can see his friend once more and give him a proper goodbye. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Lazarus isn't entirely alive. They still reference him as dead. And yet he's not entirely dead either. He's walking around a four-day-old decaying corpse, this first-century zombie emerging from a tomb. Jesus commanded, "Unbind him and let him go." Now, I suppose in the story, we're supposed to understand this as Lazarus released back into the world. You gotta wonder, was he gonna go back to life as usual? That's what everybody wanted, things to be normal. But how do you come back from the dead, carrying on with this decaying corpse, as if nothing ever happened? I don't know if his body was actually capable of it. I'm sure that command was to take off his death rags and let him go free. But I wonder if there isn't more to those words. Unbind him and let him go. I wonder if that's actually a command to any and all of us who have lost someone, to any and all of us who cannot bear to let our loved ones go, to any and all of us who hold on to the people we love and wish and pray that we could bring them back to life. Is that not also a command that Jesus must have needed to hear himself? Unbind him. Let him go. And yet what Jesus does by bringing Lazarus back to the land of the living is make him undead. It cannot last forever. Lazarus has not become immortal, incapable of ever dying again. I don't know the rule book to zombie life or unlife or zombie death or undead. But I know that ultimately, even Jesus cannot escape the reality that things would never be back to normal. His pain was real, and even with all of his powers, he can't undo it. Our lives will never be back to normal, whatever that is. Our pain is real, and we cannot undo it. But we are invited to unbind our dead and let them go. Because in our doing so, we liberate them from the tombs, and we let them live as undead in our lives. Not in some scary Hollywood movie, not talking about those vampires from 2 days ago. I'm talking about allowing ourselves to let our grief wash over us the way Jesus did. To be true to our feelings and honor our own pain, because our pain is present precisely because of our deep love. It doesn't matter if they died last month, they died 50 years ago. Perhaps it is possible that even our dead become undead to our lives, to speak to us in our hearts, and to share their wisdom and love with us long after that moment they parted from this world. Yes, Lazarus lives. He is undead for Jesus and Mary and Martha. And yes, the good news is our loved ones live as well, undead from our lives, our dreams, our hearts. So unbind them and let them go. For when we do, they will live with us forever. Amen.